Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, afternoon, depending on where you are that you are listening. This is the Now Sabbath Gathering Online Ministry with Apostle W.J. Armstrong. Many things have happened since I last spoke to you. My wife transitioned out of here on last week, and that was one of the reasons I wasn't on. But this week I'm back, and we're going to talk about a topic that has been near and dear to me for years, that I have meditated and reflected on it, and it started in the garden. So let us pray. Almighty Everlasting Creator, I want you to release your truth to me this day. Let your Holy Spirit, let the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the one that the Messiah said he had to go so he could come, one that would lead us into all truth. I give you thanks and I give you praise for this time. And I trust those who listen, they will be able to find something that will get shed light upon them in terms of the sacred woman. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just first define what sacred means. Sacred means to dedicate or set apart something for the service of worship of a deity. Set apart by the Creator for a specific purpose. And today I want to talk about why I see women as being sacred and why some of what happened in the garden is still being worked out today or rolled out today. Whenever, this is in the book of Genesis, whenever God came up on them, in the garden, and they told him that, well, the woman told him that the serpent had told her about the tree, and she added something that to what the Creator had told her and Adam about the tree and for what they shouldn't do regarding that specific tree. But they chose to be disobedient. And this is the part here that I wrestled with for a while, where what I call the name blame game. Adam, who God gave the woman to as a helpmate, he blamed God for giving him the woman. Now, he blamed God. And what happened? The woman blamed the serpent. And whenever we look at now, I know as growing up, we always looked at the woman as being the problem. She's the problem. She was the problem. She did it. She's the one that gave Adam the apple. Well, back then, technically, it probably was something other than an apple. There was figs. There was grapes. Those types of fruits was back then. And he ate it. Now, what I'm saying is, the woman, we look down on the woman, men. Men feel that the woman is there for their pleasure. Men feel that they can do whatever they want to the woman. And I guess some of you are asking, why am I going down this path today? Well, one of the reasons is Mother's Day just passed. Mother's Day. And if you sit down and you reflect on it, Mother's Day, that's a significant, sacred day. Why? Because mother, for a person to become a mother, they had to carry something inside of them for approximately 9 months. And whenever that fetus matures, then it was ready to come out. It was ready to be born. So during this 9 month period, the woman had to watch what they ate. I know my wife did. Exercise. She did all that so that she could have a healthy child. Now, when we look at the woman as relate to society, to me, that's a sacred role. Sacred. You don't just select anybody for procreation. The deity selected her to be the one that will produce the offspring that would cover the earth. Not only does the woman produce the offspring in order to be a mother, they nurture that offspring once it arrives, once it is birthed. They cared for that offspring. They made sure that that offspring had the type of food that was nutritious so that it could develop into a healthy human being. You say, you still ask questions. Why would I say or anyone say that the woman is sacred? Let's look at this now. The woman has the responsibility for the development of the offspring body, mind, and spirit. Body, we just mentioned about the body, type of food. I know when I was a little kid, they used to put me in the window so the sun could shine on me. And they said that was good, that was healthy. Well, that was vitamin D that we get from the sun. The mind, they read to me. And whenever I got able to read, they made me a gift of the Book of the Month Club. So I got a book every month that I read. They carried me to the church where there was Sunday school. There was worship. And then there was other activities during the week sometime. It taught me how to care for other people. Taught me how to be truthful, not to lie. Taught taught me how to be fair. Fair. And I look at now, whenever I look at society now, and what I see on television, they have made a sex object out of women. But they're sacred now. I want you all to think about this stuff. How conflicting it is. It's conflicting. Here the deity, the creator, made woman to be the one that had the reproductive organs that could carry a fetus that could give birth. Man can't give birth. If it was just men, society would end. I want you to think about, why is it now that men are casting women in demeaning roles? But yet, they depend on the woman to carry their child. How this conflicting behavior, conflicting attitude. So I went to the Bible, and what did I see? I see these four, there's lots of them, but I saw four women that we're going to briefly talk about of reference. We had who? Naomi and Ruth. When Naomi's husband and two sons died, Ruth did what? Because one of the sons was her husband. But Ruth chose to stay with Naomi. And Ruth is in the bloodline of Jesus. Check it out for yourself. Ruth and Boaz. In the book of Ruth. When you read that story, you will then begin to see, evidently, there must be something sacred about this woman, or about women. And then, if you look at the book of Esther, what do you see in the book of Esther? Read Esther chapter 1 through chapter 4. You will see all the advertisements that she dealt with, and that God used her to save a people because Haman decided he wanted to kill all the Jewish people. But Mordecai, he was the one that protected and provided the nurturing, the understanding that Esther needed in order to go before the king. And just think now. And what, here's Deborah. I had to read Deborah. If we look at chapter 4, we start at verse 6. Sorry about that. I want to read that one. That was one of my favorites. And it starts at 6. And let me skip down. Verse 6, I'll just summarize that one. Verse 6 and 7, it deals with devil who is a prophet. He said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, command you, go take with you 10,000 men and lead them up to Mount Tabor. And the..." It's interesting. Then we skip down for time. We're skipping down to verse 8. Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go." Then Deborah said, "Certainly I will go with you," said Deborah. "But because the course that you are taking, the honor will not be yours. But the Lord will deliver Sarah into the hands of a woman." So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. There Barak summoned Zebulun and Naphtali, and 10,000 men went up under his command. Deborah also went with him. Now, he could have... Why couldn't he have done that himself? But he had to take the woman with him. I want you to think now, the woman is that bad. Why would he need the prophet Deborah to go with him? Now, let's go down. Mary, the mother of Jesus. You find this in Luke 1, chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. And whenever you look at Mary and look at her purpose, look at how God used her. Why would God use somebody that's not sacred, that's not able for him to elevate? I just want you to think about all of this stuff. And as you think about it, I trust that your perception may change. I know mine did. Whenever you read the stories, your insight will never be the same. If you look at the woman, and I looked at my wife, I would be here on the radio. I wouldn't have been the United Methodist pastor. I wouldn't have been doing all those things that the Word said do hadn't been for her. I had no intention of going to church. But God used her in a way that he was able to touch me. And as a result of his touching me, he was able to choose me to be able to touch the lives of people that will draw people unto him through the teaching of his beloved son, the Messiah. And for example, I had no intention of going to church or Sunday school or anything else. We had two children. And I said, I think you need to take the children to church, the Sunday school. Because I realized that my foundation was biblical, and I was progressing in employment. And her thing to me was that if you want them to go, you'll go with us. I'm someone like Deborah, doesn't it? What she told Barack. Now, as we, I want you to think about the women in your life. And I want you to look at how you perceive women and how you interact with women. And what is your relationship that you have? Do you just see women as being a sex object? Or do you look past the physical and able to see the purpose that God placed women through the spiritual lens? And, you know, I guess that's why men do what they do to women, because they're afraid of them, I guess. I guess it's a fear. Whenever you, and if you look at the different roles between men and women, women have direct contact on the offspring. Men don't. Men, our role is to protect and to provide. The women nurtures. I want you to just think about it. Then you might come to a conclusion that I came to, that the enemy knows that it's, he can destroy the relationship between God and a woman. He can about control what happens in society. And if you look at what's happening in society now, you begin to ask the question, who nurtures who? What type of relationship does the Creator have with women today? And what type of relationship does the Creator have with men? Well, I venture to say that you look at his long suffering. You've been putting up with men and our controlling spirit since what did Adam say? But God, it's that woman you gave me. He did not want to take responsibility for anything. And if you look at what's happening now in the earth realm, in the political arena, the educational arena, you look at this, look at them in all the arenas. The workplace and television is, what do you see? They're using women to sell cars. Not from a body of knowledge, but from a skimpy dressed person. And I just want to think about it. And as you think about it before it's too late, you embrace her as your helpmate, not as your slave. And when you embrace her as your helpmate, you will find that you're able to move those mountains. In other words, you're able to accomplish things that you can't accomplish by yourself. It is it's amazing how this could turn out to be the year of the woman. All throughout society, politics, education, finance, all of it. This could be the turning point where women have been put down all these years, but they are now at a point where the Creator is about to elevate them to their rightful position. Now, not all women, don't get me wrong, not all men, but those whom He selects, because all authority comes from God. I want you to think about it. And then once you think about it, what are you going to do about it? When I went through mine, I used to think women should be in the pulpit, women shouldn't do this, women shouldn't do that. But when I looked at the words, that didn't quite line up. Here's Deborah. There's Esther. There was Ruth. And there's Mary, the mother of Jesus. That's just four women that played a significant role in human history from a biblical standpoint. Our biblical perspective. Men, read it for yourself. Read it. And see if your understanding remains the same. Because whenever I read it, where were the men? Where were the men? It was the women that ministered to Jesus. Where were the men? There was 12 of them. When he arose, where were the men? But women are unworthy. I just want you to think about it. And now, those of you who listen by computer, you have a question, or if you take exception, I don't have any problem with that. Make sure it's grounded in spiritual, biblical foundation. My email address is talkingdrums12@gmail.com. talkingdrums12@gmail.com. Send me your emails. I will respond to them. Now, if it's some outlandish conspiracy theory, I'm putting it in the trash and burn it. So that piece of paper will not touch anyone else. We have enough lies in the earth realm now. And as we prepare to close, I think somebody just popped on. We're talking about the sacred woman. we're talking about how women throughout history have been placed in a negative image. But yet, you go to the scripture, go to the word, you find, and I just selected four, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Ruth, the lady that refused to leave her mother-in-law, and who married Boaz, and who is in the line of the lineage of the Messiah. And Esther. Esther, who was used to save the people when Haman was bent on destroying the community. Sacred. Deborah made it clear in Judges chapter 4 and 5, and I'm just going to read this 8. Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go, but if you don't go with me, I won't go." Now this is Deborah now. She says, "Certainly I will go with you," said Deborah. "But because of the course you are taking, the honor will not be yours. For the Lord will deliver into the hands of a woman." So now, here's the man, and there's the woman. And if you think about what she said, and now if you look at the women in your life, the women that you had interacted with, do you see them positive, playing a positive role in not just your life, but in society in general? I want you to think about that. And then what you think about it, what you going to do about what you concluded. The conclusion that you reach, I was telling that I changed my whole perception, changed in terms of their role in ministry and in terms of spirituality. I got my spirituality from the females, not the males. I was introduced by females. My Sunday school teacher was a female. My elementary school teacher was a female. And they taught us values. They taught us how to engage in different relationships. And they taught us how to do unto others as we have them do unto us. Whenever you go back and you see the two commandments that Jesus highlighted, one of them was what? Love your neighbor as yourself. So, questions, comments. Our time is about up. All right. Well, you have a good rest of the weekend, and you have a good the rest of your life. This is Apostle W.J. Armstrong that says Shalom. Shalom.